name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're on page 3. At the top of the page, this is the three appeals of Louisa. So, Our Lady is saying, if you learn to live from the divine will, so this is what we're going to be studying. We're going to be studying the Book of Heaven, reading, studying, and putting this into practice. You know what happened in my diocese? We had Bishop Sheen here, and when he left the diocese in 1967, they basically stopped the Baltimore Catechism. And there's been really no teaching of the Catholic faith as we used to study. You know, we used to memorize the truths in the book of the Baltimore Catechism. So what Jesus has done in his wisdom as God, as Lord, he is giving us how to study the church again, how to enter into this. And this is what the Book of Heaven is. You're going to be fascinated by the truths that Jesus is going to teach you about our faith, things that we have forgotten, things that we have set aside. So this is what Jesus is saying through Mary. If you listen to my lessons, they're all of heaven, and learn to live from the divine will. Our Lady says this: in this book, you shall see wonders. You shall find a mama who loves you so much as to sacrifice her only beloved son for you in order to allow you to live of that very life from which Our Lady lived on earth. So the first thing you have to remember is the reason Jesus wanted the Blessed Mother at the crucifixion was to offer her son up for us. Our Lady says that she knew either all of mankind had to die or Jesus had to die. And so can you imagine her great love for her son? She said, basically, the Father wants you crucified. And then she says, I want you crucified. Because this is what the Father wants. To save mankind, you have to be offered up. Can you imagine? Not only being there watching him die, the one who was completely innocent and holy, but to sacrifice him, to say, you have to die. Can you imagine how much Our Lady loves us? So she says this. She sacrificed her only beloved son for you. Why? So that you will be allowed to live the very life that Our Lady lived on earth. She says, do not give me this sorrow. Do not reject me. Accept this gift of heaven that I am bringing to you. Welcome my visit and my lessons. Okay, so every time that you read when Our Lady is speaking, she's visiting your soul. She's touching your soul. And she's teaching you, again, like I said, we don't have the Baltimore Catechism to teach us anymore. She's teaching us. Jesus is teaching us. Mary is teaching us. Know that I shall go all over the world, and this is what she's done in all her apparitions. I shall go to each individual. I will go to all families, in your own family, to the religious communities, to every nation, to all peoples, and if needed, I shall go about for entire centuries until, as queen, I, Mary, have formed my people, and as mother, my children, who may know the divine will and let the divine will reign everywhere. So Our Lady's getting this all done. Our Lord is getting this all done. And we have to understand that we're not alone anymore. We have the new Adam, Jesus. We have the new Eve, Mary, with us. And thank God for being Catholic. Thank God for being Catholic. GC says this. Here is the purpose of this book. Those who shall welcome this book and love this book shall be the first fortunate children to belong to the kingdom of my divine fiat. with gold characters, I, Mary, shall write their names in my maternal heart. So here we have Jesus saying he's writing his name, our names in his heart. And now we're having Mary saying she's writing our names in her heart. You have to understand, it's a new beginning that's coming for us. Don't be concerned about what's happening all around you. As you focus on Jesus, as you focus on Mary, as you grow closer to living in the divine will, the gift that they gave to Louisa, you're going to be so happy. So she says this, "Do you see, my child, the same infinite love of God who wanted to use me in redemption to make Jesus, the eternal word, descend upon earth, calls me, the Blessed Mother, into the field once again, to earth once again, entrusting to me the difficult task, the sublime mandate, to form the children of the kingdom of his divine will on earth." So that's what Our Lady is doing. She's forming us. She's molding us. She's getting us ready to be in Jesus's image and likeness. That's the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is we become like her son. The Eucharistic reign of Jesus is to become a living host. This is what Jesus told St. Faustina. "I want you," he says to St. Faustina, "to become a living host." Now, what Jesus did with Louisa, he says, "I'm going to teach you how to do this." When you read the Book of Heaven, you're going to learn what it means to become a living host. You have to understand, you're going to see wonders and things that have never been shown to you before. Why? Because now is the time that God wants to show this to you. Don't waste this time. You know, it was a few years ago, they said that the children on the iPhones, just on the iPhones, this was, I think, 4 years ago, they waste 6 million hours a year. 6 million wasted hours a year. We're not talking about music. We're not talking about movies. We're not talking about anything. We're just talking about the iPhone. 6 million wasted hours. Jesus says, don't lose this time. Those are lost hours that are gone. Use the time that Jesus has given us. Most of us are over the hill. And God is saying to us, he's really saying to us, you know, you got a little time. Use this time wisely. Don't waste it on television. I'm a member of Opus Sanctorum Angelorum, the work of the Holy Angels, and we call television the hypnotic eye of death. You sit there for hours just staring at this box. That's exactly what St. Elizabeth Ann Seton said. There will be a black tabernacle in every home where people will worship. And that's the television. I told a doctor friend of mine, this was 30 years ago. He said, "My kids are arguing what television show they want to watch." I said, "Throw the TV out." 2 weeks later, he came back and he says, "Well, I did what you said, Father." I said, "What was that?" He says, "I threw the TV out." I said, "You what?" I said, "What do you mean you threw the TV?" He says, "We threw it out." I said, "Oh my goodness." I said, "Oh dear, I didn't mean it literally." And he says, "But you know what?" He says, "The girls fought for 2 weeks and then they became friends." Don't stare at this box. Whether you're 8 or 80, you're staring at this thing. You're not thinking. You're not praying. You're not living. I told the children at school the other day, I said, for your gift that I want to give you, basically to, for summer, I said, is don't watch TV. Go outside and live. Live. Get outside and be alive. Don't be staring at this box, this tabernacle. And again, that's what Jesus is saying. He wants us to begin to live this. So he says, this is the difficult task. We are hypnotized by television. The sublime mandate, Our Lady says, is now I, Mary, am going to form the children of the kingdom of divine will on earth. Therefore, with maternal care, I, Mary, put myself to work. I'm preparing you, for you, the way which shall lead you, listen to this, to this happy kingdom while you are alive, not after you're dead. That's the Our Father. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We're supposed to be alive now. We're supposed to be happy now. Therefore, with maternal care, I put myself to work. I'm preparing for you the way that shall lead you to this happy kingdom. For this purpose, I, Mary, shall give you sublime and celestial lessons. That's what you're going to find when you read the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom. When you read the prodigies of Our Lady, you're going to receive sublime, listen to this, and celestial lessons. And then she says this, and this is what you will discover. She says, I shall teach you special and new prayers through which you shall bind the heavens, bind the sun, bind creation, bind my own life and that of my son Jesus, and with all the acts of the saints, so that in your name they may beseech the adorable kingdom of the divine will on earth as it is in heaven. The prayers that Mary's going to teach you are so powerful. Now, as Catholics, we understand this. When the priest at the altar says, "This is my body," God obeys. Doesn't matter the state of the priest's sin. It's open sanctorum. God wants us to enter into this life where God obeys the priest, even if he's a sinner. When the priest says, "I absolve you of all your sins," God obeys. This is what this Our Lady is saying. You're going to enter into with new and special prayers. You're going to bind the heavens, bind the sun, bind creation, bind my own life and that of my son, the life of all the acts of the saints, so that in your name they will beseech the adorable kingdom of the divine will on earth as it is in heaven. Wait till you begin to see this. You will begin to pray in a way without pleading. Jesus says, ask, believe that you will receive it, and it is yours. How many times have you heard that from the pulpit? Ask, believe that you will receive it, and it is yours. That's what Jesus says. Jesus wants to answer our prayers. And therefore, what you pray with confidence and trust, God is going to answer. You might not see it in your life, but you have to live knowing that it's going to be answered. If it's according to the will of God, everything's answered. I remember once when I was born, I was a towhead. I had blonde hair. And the kids down the end of the street, they had blonde hair their whole life. Well, as I got older, my hair got darker. Now it's getting lighter again. And I said to God, I said, that would be kind of be nice to be blonde again. This was like 30 years ago. I'm driving through Texas. And, I said that prayer, I said, that was kind of fun, And then I looked at my arm, and this arm, all the hair on this arm was blonde. And I said, "You are hilarious. He loves to have fun. He answers our prayers, but he does it in his way. God loves us. He loves his children. He plays with us. You're going to find God playing with you. You're going to find that you're going to be so happy in your prayer that all you have to do is think about something and God answers it. Why? This unity with Jesus and Mary begins to happen. This spiritual DNA of Jesus and Mary begins to happen in you. Not completely, but little glimpses. God gives you little glimpses. So this is what Our Lady says. She says this. These prayers are the most powerful because they bind the divine work itself. Through these prayers, God shall feel disarmed. God will be won over by the creature. As Catholics, we know this. It's not when the priest says, "This is my body," and there's 100 hosts, he doesn't put, if 100 people are going to receive these hosts, he doesn't put 1% in each host. He puts 100% of himself in each host. So what Jesus is saying is, what Our Lady is showing us is, God is going to feel disarmed. God is going to be won over. And as, like I said, when the priest says, "This is my body," God obeys. When the priest says, "You were absolved of your sins," God obeys. we're going to see this more and more because each and every one of us is baptized as a priest, a prophet, and a king. Jesus is going to show us something that is going to astonish us. And that's the thing that's so amazing about this gift. Every day, like I said, I learned about this in 1976. Every day is more beautiful than the last day. Every day, God gives something more spectacular. I'm always, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, we will be in the eternal awe of God. His promises, his truths are constant. And he says, every word that I speak as God, every word is a divine life. So Jesus is looking at us and he's saying, I want to fill you to the brim. I want to fill you to overflowing. So this is what's going to happen. Confident of this help, you, and that's you and me, with Louisa, shall hasten the coming of his most happy kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. This is the fulfillment of the Our Father. And with me, with the Blessed Mother, you shall obtain that the divine will be done on earth as it is in heaven, according to the desire of the divine master. And then she says, courage, my daughter. These are the first words of Pope Benedict when he became Pope. She says, we have to be courageous. We have to have courage. Make me content and I shall bless you. This is what's coming. It's a new beginning for mankind. And God is asking us to be the ones leading the charge. Now we'll go to Louisa's appeal. Louisa says, my sweet Jesus, I am here in your arms to ask your help. We begin to pray like this. Jesus, I am in your arms. I need your help. God will not abandon us. Ah, you know the anguish of my soul, how my heart bleeds, my great repugnance in making known all that which you have told me about your most holy volition. See, Louisa, it says here, Louisa's desire was to remain anonymous. She didn't want anybody to know this. And Jesus said, Louisa, if you don't write this down, no one will live in my divine will. He says, you have to write this down because this book is going to my children. Obedience opposes herself. You want it, Jesus. And though I should be crushed, I am constrained by a supreme force to accomplish the sacrifice. But remember, oh my Jesus, that you yourself have called me the little newborn of your most holy divine will. So this is a title that Jesus gives to Louisa. Now, when you read the 36 volumes, you will hear 2,200 titles that Jesus has given to Louisa. A newborn hardly knows how to stammer. Therefore, what shall I do? I shall scarcely stammer about your holy will, but you, Jesus, shall do the rest. Shall you not, O my Jesus? Rather, grant that I may disappear completely and let your holy volition, your holy will, with which, with divine and indelible letters, dip the pen in that eternal sun with the golden letters, write the concepts, write the effects, write the value, write the power of the supreme will. That's what we find in the Book of Heaven. Jesus has dictated this. Louisa has written it. It's not from Louisa. Jesus says, this Book of Heaven is me. Oh, how the soul that lives in the divine will, living as it is in its center, is ennobled. The soul is divinized. The soul disposes its natural remedies, natural remains, and returns to its beginning, returns to its triumph over all its miseries, regains its original state, which is beautiful, pure, and all ordered towards its God, towards its Creator, as it came forth from God's creative hands. See, what's happening is as you read this, you're going to not only be good and holy and saintly, but this is what Louisa shows us. You're going to be ennobled. That's why when you wear the scapular, you kiss the scapular every morning. Our Lady says, this is the clothing of heaven. We're going to be reclothed in divinity. We're going to be divinized. We're going to return to our beginning, to our origin, which is God. So Louisa says, Jesus, you write on this paper the long history of your divine will, your pain in seeing yourself driven back by the creatures into the celestial regions. And as sun on high, although rejected, you, Jesus, dart your rays over all of the human generations. You, Jesus, want to come down to reign in their midst. And therefore, you, Jesus, Send the rays of your sighs, the rays of your groanings, the rays of your tears, the rays of your intense and eternal pain in seeing yourself exiled. And that's where most people keep Jesus. They keep Jesus away. Some people can't even go to Mass on Sunday. You see yourself exiled, the union of your divine will, as it were, broken off from the human will of the human creatures. Therefore, you, Jesus, you are waiting for them to call you again into their midst. Come, divine will. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Come into their midst and to receive you as triumphant king and to make you reign on earth as in heaven. See, we want Jesus to be king. One of the things that's really important is not only consecrate yourself to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, but find an image of Christ the King. Find the image of Christ the King and put that in your home and honor him as your king, as your master, as your God, as your all. It's very important that we begin to understand who Jesus is. He's not just something that you visit on Sunday. He's not something that you pray when you're desperate. No, he's got to be your everything. He's got to be your life. He's got to be your all. Just as our Blessed Mother is our mother and our queen. He is our king. He's our savior. So he says, to receive you as triumphant king, to make you reign on earth as it is in heaven. Descend, O supreme will. If you can write that on paper and tape it to your mirror, when you begin your day, O descend, O supreme will. I am she who calls you. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Come to reign upon earth. You who created man, so that man do only your will, which he ungratefully broke by rebelling against you. That's what Adam did. Come and retie anew this human will to yourself, in order that heaven and earth may all may be reordered in you. This is what God is waiting for. To be good and holy and saintly is only part of it. To share in divinity is what God wants. Can you imagine? Every day when we go to Holy Mass, the priest says, may we share in the divinity of Christ. It's begun. It's happening. And Jesus is saying, I want it to happen in you. I want you to begin to understand this divine life, not just the human life. And that's why he gave us the Book of Heaven. Oh, how I would give my life, this is Louisa, so that your holy will be known. I would take flight in its interminable confines to bring to every soul its eternal kiss, to bring to every soul its knowledge, to bring to every soul its goods, to bring to every soul its value, to bring to every soul your inexpressible groans, because you, Jesus, want to come to reign upon earth, so that by knowing you, Jesus, they may receive you with love and with festivity to make you reign as king. O holy volition, with your luminous rays, shoot forth the arrows of your knowledges. Make known to everyone that you come to us to make us happy, but not with a human happiness, but divine happiness, to give us the lost dominion over ourselves, that the light which makes known the true good to possess it, and the true evil to flee from the divine will, that renders us stable and strong, but with a divine strength and a divine stability. So he's saying he wants us to begin to live this abundant life. That's what Jesus is saying. Open the current between the divine will and the human will and paint with a brush of your creative hand all those divine lineaments upon our soul with which we lost by withdrawing ourselves from the divine will. Your holy will shall paint us with that divine freshness that never grows old, that divine beauty which never fades, that divine light which never overshadowed, that divine grace which always grows, that divine love which always burns and is never extinguished. You see, she's painting for us a picture of what God wants us to become. O holy will, make your way. You make the way to make yourself known. Manifest to everyone who you are and the great good that you, Jesus, want to give to everyone. So attracted and raptured by such a good, everyone become the prey of your divine will. And thus, you, Jesus, shall be able to reign freely on earth as you do in heaven. Therefore, I pray you that you yourself write all the knowledge that you, Jesus, have manifested to me, Louisa, on the divine will. May every word, every saying, every effect, every knowledge of the divine will be to those who read darts, let them be darts, let them be arrows, which wounding them will make them fall at your feet to receive you, Jesus, with open arms, to make you, Jesus, reign in their hearts, so that the many prodigies of your volition work this one, as well that as they know you, Lord, listen to this, they may not make you pass by, no, but they may open the doors to you, to receive you, to make you reign. This little newborn, Louisa Picaretta, asks this of you. Think about that. Remember on the road to Emmaus, Jesus meets the two disciples, and he says, they said to him, didn't you hear about what they did to Jesus? And he says, tell me. And they said, we thought he was the one. And they crucified him. And Jesus then said to them, you know, are you so limited that you don't understand what the scripture said about the Messiah? And he opened to them their minds. He revealed to them the truths. And they said, were not our hearts set on fire when he spoke to us? That's what happens when you read the divine will. Your heart is set on fire. Remember, Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you all truths. He will remind you of everything that I have said. That's what I have found in the book of heaven. Everything that Jesus says is now revealed to us in a powerful way, and we can read it, we can reread it, we can study it, we can put this into practice. I'm telling you, the book of heaven is not, the title was given by Jesus Christ himself. He said to St. Honorable de Francia, he said, the title of this book is the book of heaven. Jesus gave us that title. He gave that book that title. And therefore, Jesus is saying to us, I want you to begin to read what this book is about. You know, I can't wait to see. See, when last time we were in Corrado with the Cardinal, Cardinal said, he was from the Vatican, he said that the Vatican wants these books published. When I was in the secret archives of the Vatican in 1996, we met Cardinal Ratzinger at the time, and he was very happy. He was very happy that we were copying these books. And now something that's very interesting, where he came from in Bavaria, there was a Benedictine monastery, and a Father Bede in 1930 copied Louisa's writings, and Germany was the first one to have these books. 1 through 19 were all copied, and I can imagine as a child being at that monastery, and I really believe he probably met Father Bede, and Father Bede said, read this, because I'm telling you, the Pope, Cardinal Ratzinger at the time, was so happy that we were copying these writings. He was so happy. He was filled with a joy that it said to me he knew about this. As a matter of fact, he wrote to the Archbishop of Mexico City and said that the writings of Louisa must be published. He wrote that back in 1990, when St. Honorable de Francia became blessed. This is what Jesus is saying. He wants us to understand he is opening the doors to us of this book of heaven. And he says to Louisa, he said this, that every truth is a door, that there is an angel standing by. And as you open the door, you can enter in if you wish, or you can stay outside. I want what you want. If you want to enter in, I will fill you as much as possible, 30, 60, or 100 fold. As you enter into this truth, enter into this life, you'll be so astonished. Every truth that he says is a new door. So he says this: if you want, you wanted the sacrifice for me. This is Louisa, with so much insistence of manifesting the secrets that you have communicated to me on your volition. I, Louisa, want another gift from you, that as the divine will is known, and this is for us. This is what Louisa says. If I do this for you, if I'm writing, I want you to do this. As you read this, it is a work. It's work and work this prodigy, Jesus, that it take its place of triumph and reign in the hearts that read the writings, that know the writings. As you read this, Jesus answers the prayer of Louisa. Like I said, the prayers are powerful. You're going to pray. You're going to learn how to pray in a way that will astonish you. You're going to see something that is just going to be astonishing. He says this: work this prodigy, that it takes its place of triumph and reign in the hearts that know it. This alone do I ask you, Jesus. Oh, my Jesus, I ask you of nothing else. I, Louisa, want nothing but the requital of my sacrifice, that your holy divine will be known and reign with its full triumph for those souls that read this, that study this. God is doing this. He has planned this. Like I said before, he has predestined us to live at this time to give you this gift of gifts. This is something you will always, in eternity, you will thank God every day that he gave you this gift. This is your whole being is going to be transmuted, Jesus says. Not transformed. He did that for the saints. Transmuted. Now, what is transmutation? That means that the inside and the outside changes into a completely different form, a completely different element. Your soul, your body, your mind, your intellect, your memory, your will, everything, the three powers that God gave us, everything is going to begin to change. Wait till you see what God's going to do. It's going to be glorious. She says this. Let's see. You know my love. This is how you talk to Jesus. Jesus is our love. You know my love. How great has been my sacrifice, my interior struggles, unto feeling myself die, but for you, for your love, O Jesus, and to obey your representative on earth, and that she was obeying the priest, St. Anna de Francia, I have submitted myself to everyone. Therefore, I, Louisa, want the prodigy to be great. And as the souls who read this come to know your sayings about your holy divine will, may the souls be enraptured. That's us. May the souls be enchained. That's us. May the souls be attracted more than by a powerful magnet, that they may make the divine fiat reign, which you, Jesus, with so much love, want to reign upon earth as it is in heaven. You see the power that's coming. Jesus says, he answers Louisa's prayers. And that's for us, that the divine fiat reign, which you, Jesus, so much love, that you, Jesus, want to reign upon earth. And if you please, my life, my love, my Lord, before these writings come to the light of the day and go through the hands of your brothers and sisters and mine, bring your little newborn of your divine will into the celestial fatherland. So she says, before you show this to anybody, let me go to heaven. Louisa was very humble. Louisa was very little, and she didn't want anybody to know her. She said, I would rather be in heaven, not on earth, when you show this to people. So she got her prayer there answered. Do not give me this pain, that I should be a spectator of our secrets, that they become known by other creatures. If you have given me the first pain, spare me the second. The first pain was writing, because she didn't want anybody to know what Jesus said to her. It was so personal. It was so beautiful. She didn't want anybody to know. But always, not my human will, but your divine will be done. And now a word to all of you who shall read these writings. Now, Louisa, she spoke to Jesus. Now she's going to speak to us. I pray you, I beg you, I supplant you to receive with love that which Jesus wants to give you. That is holy divine will. He wants it to reign in you as it is in heaven. But to give you his divine will, He wants your human will. Otherwise, the divine will should not be able to reign in you. If you only knew how much love my Jesus wants to give you, the greatest gift that exists both in heaven and earth, which is his most holy divine will. Oh, how many bitter tears he shed, because Jesus sees that by living in your human will, you drag the ground. You are sickly. You are impoverished. You are not capable of maintaining a good resolution. Let's think of your New Year's resolution. Usually they say a New Year's resolution lasts about 13 days. That's it. He says your human will drags you on the ground. It's sickly and impoverished. You are not capable of maintaining a good resolution. And do you know why? Because God's holy divine will does not reign in you. God's holy divine will is power. It's beauty. It's love. He says, and oh, how Jesus cries and sighs over your lot. And sobbing, Jesus prays you to make his volition reign in you. He wants to change your fortune. Jesus wants to change it from sick to healthy, from poor to rich, from weak to strong, from mutable to immutable, from slaves to kings. See, this is the royal garment. This is why, as you put on the scapular every day, you're saying to God, I now want to prepare myself for the royal garments that are going to be given. He says very clearly, it is not great penances that Jesus wants, nor long prayers that Jesus wants, nor anything else, but that his holy divine will reign in each of you, that your human will no longer have life. Again, what is the human will? The human will is what you say at confession each week. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live this life any longer. Jesus says, good. Make a firm purpose of amendment. Read the volumes. Study the volumes. Watch what God is going to do. That's what St. Louis de Montfort said. St. Louis de Montfort says, in the final days, there'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. St. Louis de Montfort says, to Jesus through Mary. Jesus and Mary now say, to Jesus and Mary through Louisa, the new Adam and the new Eve through little Louisa. This is what's coming. How amazing this is. So, okay, I lost my place. How Jesus cries and sighs over all of them. You are not capable of maintaining a good resolution. Why? Because the holy divine will does not reign in you. How Jesus cries and sighs over your lot. And sobbing, Jesus prays you to make his volition reign in you. Jesus wants to change your fortune from sick to healthy, from poor to rich, from weak to strong, from mutable to immutable, from slaves to kings. It is not penances that he wants, great penances that he wants, or long prayers or anything else, but that his holy divine will reign in you, that your human will no longer have life. For pity's sake, listen to Jesus. I, Louisa, am ready to give my life for each one of you. See, Louisa loved Jesus and Mary so much, and she knew that Jesus and Mary wanted this gift to be given to us. She says, I will die for each person. I will sacrifice my life for each and every person. To suffer whatever pain, provided that you open the doors of your soul to grant that the volition of my Jesus reign and triumph over all human generations. And then she says, and now I, Louisa, invite everyone. Come with me into the kingdom where our origin had its beginning, where the supreme being created man, created Adam, making Adam king, and gave Adam a kingdom to dominate. This kingdom was the whole universe, but his scepter, his crown, his command came from the depth of his soul in which resided as dominating king, the divine fiat, which constituted the true royalty in Adam. Adam's garments were royal. Listen to that. More refulgent than the sun. Now think about that. When Jesus was on Mount Tabor, his clothing was more brilliant than the sun. When Our Lady appeared at Guadalupe, she was a woman clothed with the sun. That's what's coming back. Jesus says the saints have a nimbus, a halo around their head. The children of the divine will are going to radiate with divine light like Jesus on Tabor, like Mary at Guadalupe. You see what's coming? It, more spectacular than what the saints ever could imagine. Okay, so she invites everyone, come with me back into Eden. Now, since there's no time or space in the divine will, we can go back to Eden. Now, what you're going to experience is this. It's a bilocation, Jesus says, that's in the divine will. And it's not the bilocation of the saints. It's Jesus taking you with him. It's Mary taking you with her to paradise, to Bethlehem, to Cana, to Golgotha, to Nazareth. You're with Jesus and Mary. Wait till you begin to experience the Holy Rosary as you pray this in the divine will. You're going to be astonished. And I'm not going to... For each and every one of us, it's something different and unique. He loves our uniqueness. He has created us with different fingerprints, different irises, different voices, different sizes, different colors, different shapes, because he loves our uniqueness. Wait till you see, he says to Luisa, every one of my children in the divine world will become a divine masterpiece. Every one of them. Why? Because Jesus is doing it, not us. That's exactly what St. Louis de Montfort says. Wait till you see what's coming. He says this. Adam's kingdom was the whole universe. His scepter, his crown, his command came from the depth of his soul, which resided as dominating king of the divine fiat, which constituted the true royalty in Adam. His garments were royal, more refulgent than the sun. His acts were noble. His beauty enrapturing. See, that's when God looked at Adam, he was enraptured. Why? Adam was in God's image and likeness. Jesus says, when the little children of the Holy Divine Will enter into this life, God is enraptured again. We re-enter into God's image and likeness, what he originally planned. God loved Adam so much, God played with Adam. God called Adam my little king and my son. All was happiness, all was order, all was harmony. But this man, Adam, our first father, betrayed himself. He betrayed his kingdom. And by doing his human will, Adam embittered his creator, who had so exalted and loved Adam. But Adam lost his kingdom, the kingdom of the divine will, in which everything had been given him. The doors of the kingdom were closed to Adam, and God withdrew to himself the kingdom given to Adam. And then Luisa says this, but I must tell you a secret. God, in withdrawing to himself the kingdom of the divine will, did not say, I shall no longer give it to Adam or to mankind, but God kept it on reserve, awaiting the future generations to assail them with surprising graces. That's what God is doing with us. He's assailing us with surprising graces as we read the book of heaven, with dazzling lights so as to eclipse the human will, which caused us, mankind to lose a kingdom so holy, with which such attraction and of admirable and prodigious knowledge of the divine will as to make us feel the necessity, the desire, to put aside our volition and make us happy, that makes us unhappy, to hurl ourselves back into the divine will as our permanent kingdom. That's what God is doing. God is asking us to return to the kingdom, to return as true children of the divine will. That means to begin to live this abundant life. We're going to learn what this life is all about. It's not human. It's divine. Now remember, the priest says this every day, may we share in the divinity of Christ. This is what's happening. As we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, we begin to learn a new and divine way of holiness. Who said that? John Paul II. When did John Paul II say this? It was at the, I was there. I was a few feet away from the Pope. It was at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. At the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, the Pope said, we are now going to begin a new and divine way of holiness. Who is St. Honorable de Francia? He was Luis's spiritual director. He is the one that put the Neil Healy Obstat on the first 19 volumes. And then Archbishop May put the imprimatur on him. It's a new beginning that's coming. Glorious beginning. And God is asking us, how can you stand it? So he says, I think what we'll do is we'll stop there and we'll begin in 15 minutes in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.